The point is that there's some games you don't get to play unless you're all in. So I think you might as well play the most magnificent game you can.
Snaps A-Rod, looking downfield, being flushed. Rolling left, winds up, rainbows it high and deep. It is caught for a touchdown!
Yes!
A miracle!
Yes! Yes! Can you believe it?
Unbelievable!
Believe it!
You walk up there and say, no play, everybody. Don't jump. There's no play. Just look at the body language.
Vegas has picked its quarterback for week one, and it's not at all what Pat and I thought. What's up, everyone? Thank you for joining us, and welcome to All In Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm your host, as always, Matt Dennis. You can follow me at Fantasy Matt EFN. As always, joined with my partner, my buddy in crime, my compadre, Pat Wendelkin. You can follow him at CityStars136. Pat, we were wrong. Fuck.
No, Vegas went to the Garden instead, my friend.
They did. They're picking from the Garden, and they're going right for it, man. But we'll get to that here in a minute. What's up, everyone? Like I said, we're now podcast week three. This will be dropping. We're recording Monday evening. Games for week two are done for preseason week two, which we'll get to. Figure Pat and I will jump on and kind of talk about this week's episode. Some standout players as we're starting to get closer and closer to the drafts, and as people are starting to get, you know, closer to either their kickoff redraft or, you know, whether it's best ball or anything like that. There's some standouts we're going to talk about, so we'll go through that. We'll also go through some losers. Not every team played their starters, so, you know, again, it is preseason, so we're kind of picking, you know, from the well at this point of what we got. We'll walk through that, and then we'll end with, like I said, some losers, but we're going to first start with Pat and the news. Take us away.
All right, Matt, we'll start out with kind of what everyone thought was going to be the actual verdict. So J.J. McCarthy is done for the Vikings, torn meniscus, signed Matt Corral. Kind of thought about that was kind of what was going to happen. I mean, you know, when you have an injury as severe as that, we knew that that was kind of going to be the end result. He was not coming back this year. So that was one. And then also to stay on the Viking ship that's, you know, leaking a lot of water and on its way down, Jordan Addison carted off, head coach O'Connell said that he suffered an ankle injury, should not be long-term issue, but, you know, we'll see. Right now the Vikings are feeling it. They got the injury bug rolling hard.
They've had a horrible offseason, man. They had a rookie cornerback who got killed in a car accident. They've had a couple people go down and on defense. Then they obviously have J.J. McCarthy, who is their future, going down. He actually looked good in week one. We talked about that, you know. We didn't know the full extent of it, but, you know, when we were talked about it last week, we knew that, you know, he was looking good coming out of week one preseason, and they'd already complained about, you know, something in his knee. They knew it was something with the meniscus, but they were not sure about the extent and how long it'd be out. So Pat's right, confirmed, done for the year. So he will be sitting with a clipboard and watching whatever this shit show is going to be in Minnesota.
Yeah.
Good luck to them.
Yeah, no pun intended to the other real shit show, but, you know, his own shit show. So, yeah. And let's get to the play on words, bro. The Raiders went to the Garden, the secret Garden, the Gardner Minshew, the one we didn't expect. I thought it was Aiden O'Connell. You thought it was Aiden O'Connell. You know, like we were looking at this game, you know, highlights, and, you know, I think that the pick six pretty much put the nail in the coffin.
100%.
Not the Gardner Minshew. So he will be the week one starter. Matt, I mean, we're surprised. But, I mean, the best man, I guess, is going to be it for now. I mean, this is subject to change anyway. So, as of right now, yeah. Gardner gets a nod.
I mean, realistically, if you look at his contract, they're paying him to, like, he's basically the starter when they brought on Gardner Minshew. It looked as though they're giving it open competition. You know, honestly, I'd say I felt like, and like you kind of alluded to this, you know, we felt like at All In, both of us believe that they were hoping, you know, Aiden O'Connell would actually win the job outright. But watching that game, Gardner didn't look good either. Gardner almost had a pick six as well. You know, he definitely had some bad throws. I was watching that game quite heavily. And then you had Aiden comes in, and he didn't look good. And then he threw a pick six. And if it's an even battle and somebody throws a pick six, that's probably going to be the end of the nail in the coffin. But to your point, I think it's actually valid. You know, I think Aiden O'Connell is still worth drafting very, very late because you never know when they're just going to pull Gardner and give it to Aiden and see what they've got with him. Gardner's on a two-year contract, so you know, they may want to see what they've got with this rookie that they've got, you know, very little invested with him, just to see if they could go with it for the future. So would be worth kind of just keeping your eye on it, or at least keeping Aiden as a you know, free agent target, you know, depending on if Gardner ship sinks like it always does.
Yeah, and you never know. I mean, like you said, dynasty and best ball and all that stuff, you got to keep him. You're not going to drop him. He's still valid, a valid quarterback. You're not going to get rid
100%.
Of him.
100%. So, Pat, what do you think if Roger – so we've talked about this before. So we do an all – we do an Elite Fantasy Nation podcast. One of our co-hosts who used to be on with us is named Roger. He is a massive, massive Gardner Minshew fan. So we still do Elite. He left a little while ago. So wish him all the best. He had other stuff going on. But yeah, what do you think Roger would say for this news? You think he's jumping
up and
down?
I told you so. I told you. I told you.
Finally. He had too many, somebody's listening
he had
to me.
Too many, dude, the stocks and shares that he had in Gardner Minshew was super high in every like dynasty league and everything. He was like him and
heavily invested.
Were, like, two guys that he was like invested in. So good for him.
But
his man gets the nod, dude.
Before we go on though, Pat, I gotta tell everybody, because again, we've mentioned this in Elite, you know, in our YouTube podcast, which also plays on Apple as well. So if anybody wants to go look at Elite Fantasy Nation, by all means, check it out. But for All In, yeah, you guys, you know, first hearing us, you know, week three, dude. So I had a bet. So I'm just gonna go through this bet if you don't mind. I'm gonna steal a couple of minutes.
That's fine. Go ahead.
So this is how much Roger loved Gardner Minshew. So drinking was definitely involved. This is about 4 years ago. And he was touting Gardner Minshew as being like the next coming. Like if he ever gets a chance, like he's never going to, you know, give it up, whatever. And in one of our dynasty leagues, he had him, like Pat mentioned, he had him in like a plethora of dynasty leagues. So I made a bet. And I think this is a pretty stupid bet on my part, but I made the bet. I asked him to put up $50. So I said, we've got 4 years. If Gardner Minshew starts in 4 years, in within any of 4 years, and you win a championship with him in your lineup, you'll get $500. All he had to do, and if it did not happen, he all he had to give is $50. So I put $500 on the line. It's a 10-to-1 odds that I gave him. And of course he accepted it because it only cost him $50. And now I think he's traded all of his Gardner Minshew shares away, Pat. So I think I'm lucky. I think I'm still going to win my $50. But
so you're be, there. You'll be fine.
Although I can see him doing a trade. I can see him doing a trade in one of the leagues to get Gardner Minshew back just so he could play him and try to get the $500 out of me. But yeah,
listen, we'll keep an eye on that, bro. That's TBD, bro.
Right. See Sorry, I derailed the conversation, no, but it's a big topic of conversation amongst the three of us.
Get us back on the rails. Let's go straight to the Steelers. Jaylen Warren, questionable for week one, hamstring issue. You know, he's been pretty good. He's definitely been standing out, you know what I mean, for the most part through Steelers, you know, preseason and everything else. He would definitely would look like he would be the starter in my eyes. He's been playing extremely well. Like between him and Najee, always been
really.
Yeah, I mean, Najee's been doing well, but Harris been playing really well too, man. So it was just sad to see him. You know, now he's gonna have the nod. You know what I mean? Like, but you know, like I said, he was doing well, but now he's questionable. So now you gotta. That's another little thing to keep an eye on because it could always be lingering. You know, it's just one of those injuries for these running backs, man. It just stinks, and it can come back at any time.
Yeah, and a couple of things there. I think you hit on a few of them. I honestly don't think it was close. I think Najee is probably going to be this. Was definitely going to be the starter. I think it's probably 1A, maybe 1B. Is how we looked at it last year. I don't think even Warren last year. Well, and Warren last year didn't look like he even could handle the 1B situation. So, but regardless, I mean, now he's going to be questionable for week one. Week two might be his first showing. And you kind of alluded to it, Pat, which I think is worth talking about in a longer. At least a little bit longer is that hamstrings for running backs are tricky because they could think they're fine, you know, and then all of a sudden they get in the field, they make a wrong cut, and, you know, it's a muscle, it's a tissue. So anything can happen. They can get on the field and make a cut or two, and then all of a sudden they could tweak it. If you look at Aaron Jones last year, he tweaked his hamstring week one playing against the Bears, and they kept blowing it off as like, oh, it's minor. He'll be fine. It lingered all the way through, I think, to week 14 or week 15. So,
yep.
And then he finally ramped it back up and he was back to being Aaron Jones. But it literally, he was out for a week or two here or there. This is Aaron Jones again, but just to kind of give, you know, correlation to what's happening potentially with Warren, is that he may feel like it's fine and then come back in and tweak it. And that's exactly what happened to Aaron Jones last year. So definitely something to monitor, definitely something as you're looking at redrafts. Najee Harris, how does this affect Najee Harris? I'll throw it to you, Pat. How does this affect Najee Harris as far as if you're doing a redraft this week? Does he move up does he go up a round or two? Does he just go up a couple of spots? Like,
in that offense right now, I mean, like I said, Russell Wilson's a disaster. Fields, whatever. I think they're going to really rely on the run game more or less. I think that's going to be they're going to have to. So Najee's value is going to be pretty solid, I'm going to say, for this year. And Warren was going to be a help because, you don't want to burn him out. He was going to be, like you said, a 1A, 1B scenario. Goal line situations will change. So it stinks. Yeah. So Najee's going to definitely pick up the workload way more than what it was before. So I think Najee's got more value for sure now. I mean, with this, and it could be a lingering issue, like you said, why not? I mean, you definitely got to keep an eye on him. I mean, he's going to be the clear number one now, hands down, and get the workload.
Oh, yeah. He's going to get the workload. But I'm going to throw a curveball just because this is what we do. Do you think, because there's talks that it's going to be Russell Wilson's job, so do you think that there's a possibility that they could put Justin Fields as a running back? Because that was talked about during the offseason. I'm not speculating. Yeah, there's nothing that's come out. I just to be very clear, there's nothing that I've read that says stated it this week, but I'm just, kind of throwing some stuff out there and say, like, hey, maybe even Justin Fields' stocks goes up because maybe this is more reason.
Well, you could do a wildcat. You know what I mean? You could do different, different things that can run for sure. I mean, they'll be like, all right, look, if, Russ is going to be the quarterback, which is pathetic. I mean, why not throw Fields in behind? Yep. Like I said, the wildcat formation could definitely throw a different couple things. Could help out Najee a little bit now with this. I mean, yeah, I can see it helping for sure. I mean, I don't know. It's like a to be determined type of deal, but it's definitely a possibility for sure.
100%. I don't want to I didn't even actually put this guy in my kind of standouts in a good way, but Taysom Hill, I'm not sure how much of the game you'd watch or were able to watch yesterday, but dude, they had him in the backfield. He was actually as a fullback. He's a running back. They have used him before in New Orleans as a quarterback. They've used him as a tight end.
Yes.
So it kind of just made me think, if they're going to Taysom Hill, is that something where, I don't know. Again, I'm just speculating. This is just a conversation that I figured having.
I mean, we just got to keep our eye on it now, especially now the door might open for him to have another, tool in his pocket that he can use,
Yeah, it's worth,
So I got worth to keep an eye out and see. My next one that I have shares in and Matt has shares in, dude, it sucks. Bills wide receiver Curtis Samuel listed as week to week with turf toe, and that sucks, dude. That's one of the worst injuries, especially for a wide receiver, bro.
Turf toe is the worst, dude. No, I mean, it's one of those things.
All you do is running, planting, and jumping, dude. It's like everything to do with your feet. Mind your hands catching the ball, but
right, and that's where all the momentum, that's where all the force. When you're cutting and you're planting, that's all the force is all on your toes. That's like from cutting. All that stuff. Your heels are up, and you're using your toes to kind of manipulate DBs. So that's massive because I actually, to your point, we both have a lot of stock in him throughout different leagues. And I was hoping in a new offense, Curtis Samuel when he was with the Commanders/Washington, whatever team you wanted to call it, he was actually a good wide receiver two, wide receiver three at times. And I was hoping with the Bills offense and a better offense, he might be able to do something similar, or if not better. I ended up stocking up on him, and it's looking not so good.
Moving on. Like I said, man, we just got to keep an eye on another one that's on the list, bro. Last one I'll go with Saints,
Rashid Shaheed. I know, it's a tongue twister.
Yeah. Is dealing with a toe and a foot injury. Just another one to keep an eye out. So they didn't say anything major, but they're just keep something to be noticed and keep an eye on. They didn't say anything about missing time, but just to keep an eye on, because he is a part of that offense, in multiple ways.
In multiple ways, and totally just alluded to it. It's not even being a part of the offense as wide receiver. He's also the kick return. So, as they're starting to do the kick return, rules are different. Some leagues actually get points for returning. So special teams people like Rashid Shaheed, are valuable. So this is, I've actually got him in Scott Fishbowl for that reason. So this is, could be again foot and toe, never good when you're a cut guy, when you're a wide receiver, you're based on speed. Those are definitely not good injuries. So definitely, Pat said, keep an eye on it and hopefully it'll be a speedy recovery. They'll give him enough time to fully recover before he comes back in. Because that's always the worst, man, is like when they're playing off like somebody's healthy and then they put him back in and then he gets injured again. It's like, just fucking keep the guy out for another week. Let him get fully healthy. Yep. And then wheels up.
There's no need to rush back, dude. Just let him try to heal the best they can. Especially foot injuries, like turf toe, especially. That's a nagging injury. That's a lot of worse. Like that, like Curtis Samuel one's definitely one to keep an eye out, because let me tell you something, that's super painful, man. It can affect you in so many different ways. You could stiffen up, it could swell up. There's like multiple, you know, as my dad being kind of like a podiatrist, I kind of know a little more. I'm not a doctor, but I just know a little more about the foot than most. So it could definitely affect
Dr. Pat.
An athlete. Dr. Wendelken, the real one over there.
Dr. Wendelken, please stand up.
It can really affect you in multiple ways. But proceeding on, Matt, let's look at good stuff.
Let me frame it up. So like I said, we're going to take you through, obviously, preseason week two ended on Sunday night. There's two games Sunday night, which is weird, actually. There's none during the day, but they had three games at 7 o'clock, all kicking off at the same time. That was really weird. But not every team did starters, so you won't hear a lot of names here, but we just wanted to, Pat and I always wanted to get together and talk about, you know, give you guys as much information as we see it that could help you in your drafts as they're coming up. The next 2 weeks, you know, specifically next week is going to be a ramp up for draft season. This is going to be the last week of preseason this coming up weekend. Probably going to be barreling the starters this weekend. So next week we'll talk about what we'll do for next week's podcast, but we want to talk about...
And this is the real draft time for everyone. Real... Redrafters
end of
will
August
be working
end
from
of
here
August.
And out. That'll be it. This is the last weekend. Now you can start doing your thing.
Yep. Wait till the end of this weekend, and then next week start drafting. Do not waste your time by drafting ahead of time. Anything can happen in practice, and it's not worth it. But anyways, we were talking about like what to talk about today, so we wanted to come on and just kind of give some takeaways, like some players that stood out in a good way, and then there's a few that we have, not a lot, just because again, not everybody had starters that were in, but there's definitely some players that stood out in a bad way. And how that could affect the draft stock. So Pat and I kind of riffed a couple back and forth. I'll throw it to Pat first, but just want to give you some nuggets here. Again, it is preseason. Some of these players are going up against potentially a second string defense, third string defense, people that are trying to make a football squad. They're not necessarily even starters. So obviously take all this with that type of knowledge and understanding, but this is what we have to give the information that we have for now. So I'll start with you, Pat. Let me throw it to you. So first guy off your list, man, who is, after preseason week two, who is somebody that stood out in a good way that you're like, we need to start talking about this guy?
So I have stock in this gentleman. I've traded for this gentleman, and I do have faith for this gentleman will be a starting quarterback sooner than later. And that is Sam Howell. He looks super solid versus the Titans this past weekend. Completion ratio over 75%, no turnovers, 11 for 14, 153 yards, one touchdown. Super solid performance. Like you said, I know you're playing against like second stream and everything else, but he looked really, really good. I saw a shitload of highlights.
Second week in a row.
Yeah. And he's been solid. Like it's not like a fluke. And they brought him here for a reason. And I got a couple of people that are big Seahawk fans, and they told me this. I told Matt this in the beginning of summer, that this was a guy to keep an eye on, and I've been buying into him in all my dynasty leagues, and I've been storing him for the bottom because Geno will not be the starter one day, and it's going to be Sam Howell's ship. So he will take over for them eventually.
When do you think, if you were to put your money on it, we're both Benny men. So let's just say, and this is, you know, obviously you're just kind of giving out your own thoughts, but you have, it's for anybody that has not listened to us in our other format, Pat is a very much, he's 100% correct. He's been a huge Sam Howell fan. And kind of beating that drum, tooting that horn, however you want to kind of, whatever analogy you want to say. But he's definitely been, you know, from the top of the mountaintop, you know, screaming Howell will be the starter. He said it months ago. So this is not a new thing by any means. Do you have if you were to predict, thinking about, Geno Smith didn't look great last year. He had one great year, then got a contract. Last year, he was up and down. It was definitely a Geno roller coaster again, which is what he'd been in the past. That's why he never really had the money or the bag before. That's why I also hopped around from team to team. So you're thinking like midway through the season, you're thinking towards the back half of the season. Again, you don't have to give a specific date, just you know, vaguely. Like if you were to bet, like what kind of would you feel comfortable saying this is where you feel like it'll happen?
So if Geno starts off super rocky, you're going to see like you know, I'm sure fans and then, like, you know, the media over there is going to definitely be like, all right, Sam had a solid preseason. Let's throw him in there so we can do, you know what I mean? Can't get any worse. But, like, if Geno's just, like, the up and down, they, and, like, you know, depending on their position or where they are, if Geno Smith really just is not cutting it, I can see, like, probably, like, week eight. Week eight will definitely be, like, my number, I think. Like, kind of, like, okay, halfway point, you know, let's see where he's at and go from there. But if, you know, Geno's having a solid season, he's just going to be there unless he gets injured. You know what I mean? Because Geno can get injured just like anyone else because he's had it before. So, yeah, I say like week eight. If he's having an up and down or very inconsistent, yeah, let's go week eight. I think he can take over.
Their bye week is week 10. So, I mean, it could also happen like around then. Usually that's where they kind of do a little bit of their shifts that they were to do them. But yeah, I mean, I don't disagree, dude. You and I have talked about this quite a bit. I think you're spot on. When Geno got the bag, I had him in Dynasty in a couple of leagues. I traded him right away. As soon as he got the bag, I'm like, I don't see him being a long-term solution in that offense. No. It's a whole new coaching staff. That's changed a lot there. They're not stuck to Geno Smith at all. They're not the ones who give him the contract. No. So they can move on very quickly if things do not. If they start out 0-4, I could see him being pulled. You know, if he has a couple of bad games and they're 1-2 or 1-3, I could see him being pulled very quickly. So I think that's a great call, dude. And I think, so here's the question. In redraft, do you think Howell is worth drafting? Or is this just more of a dynasty play? Or is it something where, like, no, redraft, take him on the very end?
I wouldn't draft him now by any means. I think Geno's more way towards the bottom tier anyway for anyone. But if there's injuries starting to happen,
that's very,
you know,
cool.
Look, if there's injuries happening and stuff like last year and people are dropping like flies and, you know, Geno's no good or whatever may be the case, I could definitely see it taking him like during the season. He might be a nice waiver pickup. But for dynasty, yeah, dude, I get him now. Buy low now.
What would you buy? To talk about one of the trades that you've done, just to give people context, you know, so you can give a little bit kind of.
I forgot. I gave him away for really not that much. I probably traded him for it. We talked about it in one of our trade shows in our pod, but it wasn't much, man. I didn't have to. Maybe it was a late pick, like a third, like late, or something. It wasn't late second or early third.
I think it was a third, actually.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was a third. So I got him cheap, and I'm happy because that could be eventually a starter. So I'm super thrilled. I tell you, I picked them up in two of our leagues, so I'm in.
All right. Sam Howell, all the way.
You're all in. That's the one you want. Just all the way. I'm in on him.
Pat is all in on Sam Howell. All in. Let's go.
For sure. So I'm going to break it down. I got a couple quarterbacks, and I'm going to be real with you. And this one I'm excited to. I'm jumping a little bit. Matt's going to be mad at me. I'm going to call this Return of the Mac, dude. Mac freaking Jones, dude. What a game. I saw his highlights. A guy, I didn't even know who it was.
Yeah.
And the Jags throwing the ball, so slinging, looking great. Dude, 16 for 23, 210, two touchdowns, dude. The Patriots were probably the problem. Bill was a problem. They're all were screwing up this poor guy. Maybe that's what he needed. New air, possibly. New fresh air. He went from the cold north to a nice sunny south, bro, in Jacksonville. I don't know what to offer there, but he's in Florida. The sun's different. He's feeling different, but he played, sure, a hell of a lot different than he was doing up there.
And maybe they're gonna appreciate it. You said you watched it too, right? So like you saw some of the throws.
So he looked great. He looked really good. I mean, granted, like you said, not a lot of the starters were in, you know, he was facing against, but he played great.
But I mean,
man.
Dude, bro, I've even seen second and third stringers or, you know, second stringers still have a hard time against, you know, third and fourth stringers. Like you just never know. Yeah, that's good to hear, man. I personally didn't get a chance to look at that. At that game particularly. But I did look at the stat line and yeah, you're right, dude. It was kind of like his eye popping. You know, you look at 16 for 23, like you said, 210 yards, two tutties. I mean,
that's a
good showing, man. Regardless if it's second stringers or not, dude. I mean, you're going against
preseason, bro. He was getting the ball thrown, dude. That's a lot of yards.
Well, and also like you're going against people that are fighting for a job. Their jobs. Correct. In the NFL. So like they're not just gonna let you get yardage on them. Like that's not what they do. They're professionals. If they're second or third strongers, doesn't matter. But yeah, keep an eye on it. Again, we're not saying he's gonna be breaking records, he needs to be starting. Obviously they've got Trevor Lawrence there. But still worth maybe picking up or keeping an eye on.
Hey man, that might be my next Sam Howell move. Buy low, bro. I'm looking for the bargains, man.
Yep. Talk about a bargain.
The other guy, another bargain, bro, for them and them boys, bro. Trey Lance, 15 for 23, 151, one touchdown, 7 carries for 34 yards, and a touchdown. Super solid game, bro.
Yeah.
Super solid game.
He looked good this game. I will say, like, he's fighting for a third for the third place or the third QB3 in that room. Like, he's not even going to be making QB2.
Right.
But again, he didn't look good preseason week one too. So again, this is kind of where we go with, like, you know, keep everything grain of salt. Like, he looked like trash. He looked like Trey Lance, like what you would expect, you know, in preseason week one. So preseason week two, he did turn around, dude. I watched definitely a lot of this game. So it was impressive to see him kind of like turn around and shaking everything off. His thing has always been he doesn't have enough experience. I mean, he played 1 year in college and it was at a D3 level. San Diego State, you know, for those people that aren't really, North Dakota State. I don't know, I said San Diego State. North Dakota State. So for those people who don't really follow college football, you know, they won championships, you know, but still their, you know, level is not near what it is in the regular divisions in college, let alone in the NFL. So who knows? Maybe they'll keep him on the practice squad and see where it goes. But one person you need to have on here.
It's just nice to see it, though.
No, it is. I mean, I've never wanted, you know, I've never been a Trey Lance fan. I'll say that right off the rip. Like, I personally have never believed in him. I thought he had one good year in college and they won a state championship and everybody just automatically thought that he was like the next coming. And I didn't think he had it in. I think that's too big of a jump from that level to the NFL with very little experience. So personally, I never thought he had it. I think he's an amazing athlete, but you need to be more than an athlete to be an NFL quarterback in this league. So that was always my take on it. But yeah, it's good to see him. I have at least a good outing. One person we didn't mention on here, which it's still crazy that he's like unsigned, Ryan Tannehill. You know, when we were talking earlier about, you know, I was going to mention this earlier when we were talking about, you know, going back to the Vikings in Minnesota, they signed Matt Corral. Like, it's crazy that he wouldn't sound like Ryan Tannehill, who potentially, I mean, maybe he's asking for too much money. It's just, it's weird that a guy like that's out there and you have all these questions versus or injury or all the stuff that's going on at the quarterback position. And you have him who's not even signed. So maybe he's done, but anyways, just popped in my head for whatever reason.
That's all right. No, it's a good point. Valid. Another game I got into. Right.
Let's talk about non-quarterbacks. Yeah, get off the quarterback. No more off the quarterback box, bro.
So I'm off the soapbox. I'm on the floor, and this guy, man, talk about on the floor. This man has the sky's the limit for this gentleman because he looked amazing. Being in the New York area, Malik Nabers, we know he's great. LSU breeds wide receivers. Get it, love it, dude. He can catch fucking anything.
Well, like, he has to.
Like Spider-Man, dude. Watching him,
who's,
bro.
Well, he's throwing the fucking ball
10 feet over him. Oh my god! Dude, I'm telling you, man, he stretches this kid out like he's like Stretch Armstrong. It's just like, dude, I'm telling you, watching the Giants is exciting because Daniel Jones sucks, but Malik Nabers makes him look amazing. He must take him out to dinner every weekend. He's like, dude, you save me every time. Like, he like. I don't know, man. He looks insane. The stuff he makes makes it look really easy, but it's not, though.
He said even in practices throughout the training camp, he said it's amazing, electric. Odell Beckham.
Yeah, I was gonna say
in quotes,
dude. Like, same feeling being in this area. It's the same. Like, I hear it on the radio. I hear it on TV. It's like, wow. It's like flashbacks. Like Odell doing one handed grabs. It's very similar to it, but not without the arrogance. He's like a really nice guy. I mentioned it to him before, Matt. He signs autographs for everybody. He's a great guy. Super cool dude. But so big props to him, man. He is Spider-Man, bro. There's no doubt. My man gets everything thrown to him, bro. He gets
it. Yeah, dude, bro. Like, he's amazing talent. We've talked about him before numerous times in different formats and different podcasts, obviously, that we're in. But that trash of a quarterback, though, dude. I mean, it's just like, holy shit.
We'll get to him. He's gonna get roasted.
Sorry,
we're not done yet.
I don't want to steal your thunder. We'll wait.
Please,
because I was watching that, and I was like, "Well, all right, I'll stop." Yeah. Go ahead.
So, look, last one I have is Trey Benson, 9 carries, 43 yards. Nothing exciting here. I just kind of like it's a very flat line thing because there was like a lot of people like, "Oh, you know, he's gonna take Connor's job, this and that," and I'm like it's just like a flat line. He's not a horrible guy, but it's just nothing impressive, you know what I mean? He's like in the middle. It's just like vanilla.
Well, but I think it's worth talking about because last week, week one, he looked really bad, Trey Benson. So he's a rookie coming out of Florida State. So coming out of Florida State, we talked about him before when we did a recap last week. He looked really bad, actually. It was one of the guys that we highlighted. This week, he looked better. He didn't look elite, but he looked better. It looked like he's moving quicker. I mean, again, you gotta remember, like, what people don't realize, like, they expect somebody to come in right away in the NFL and automatically hit the ground running or we ditch him and we forget about him. But it's like you're going from college at Florida State, ACC, to the NFL. And not even SEC. You're going to the NFL. So you're going like even two steps above, you know, college in general. And sometimes it takes people time, you know. So I think it's worth mentioning. You know, who knows, you know, with Connor, like who's gonna be the backup, but Trey Benson, I think, is at least worth taking a risk on in Dynasty. If you've drafted him, you know, in rookie drafts and you have him, don't panic.
Draft and stash. That's all. Yeah, exactly.
Wait until Connor gets hurt, because you know it's Connor. He's older. He's going to get hurt. He has an injury. He's injury prone, whatever the hell that means. And see, Trey Benson's worth holding on to, though. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. What else, man? Is that you good?
I'm good. That's my list, man. So I'm going to take it and let you have the rest.
All right. There's one other guy. We'll tag team this guy right here at the end, the Rams rookie wideout that we will tag.
No, because we could definitely do that, but I want you to get some time. We'll do that.
Oh, no, I talk because I interrupt you and I talk a lot too. We're going to do, I'm going to save my boy for the very end because I'm a Chicago Bears fan, and I'm going to save my boy for the end, but I will say Ray Davis. So Bills running back, 8 carries, 58 yards. Clearly looks like the running back too in that offense. Again, another, like I mentioned, a rookie. He did look pretty good. Like he looks like he's got that offense pretty, or you know, he's got a better understanding of the offense this week than what he did last week. So I think again, not eye popping. Didn't have a touchdown, so he did not get in the end zone yet. But Ray Davis out of Kentucky is looking pretty damn good, and it looks like it's clearly going to be his backfield, or he's going to be clearly the RB2 in that backfield. I should say. So I think it's worth mentioning, and I think he's definitely worth drafting, you know, in redrafts, maybe in a deeper league format. Also in best ball, like if you want to try something, you know, like one of the last picks or two, I think his upside in that offense could be really high. So I think he's worth taking a risk on a bigger back who's agile, mobile, and definitely is an offense that creates a lot of points. So worth having those guys. It's kind of how I look at it. And he clearly looks like he's going to be the RB2. So Ray Davis, first guy I want to mention. This guy, man, holy shit. I watched this game, and it was like even the analysts were like, wow, look at him go. Trey Tucker. So, you know, if you've been doing this for a little while, his name's come up a couple of years, you know, in a row about potentially being a guy to keep your eye open for. Wide receiver for the Las Vegas Raiders. If you look at the stats, not that eye-popping. 3 receptions, 66 yards. I mean, that is a 22-yard per catch average, which is actually pretty massive. He did have one bomb that he caught, which is pretty much one of the highlights that he had. But the reason I want to also highlight him, he's A, going to be a deep threat in that offense. Whether or not they can get in the ball and who's throwing the ball to him. And actually, I take that back for a second. Gardner Minshew has been known to just air it out. He's a gunslinger. You know, so if you look at somebody who's a burner like Trey Tucker, it could be a perfect match for Trey Tucker having Gardner Minshew as a quarterback versus Aiden O'Connell, who's a little bit safer and kind of plays the middle of the field and a little bit closer to the line of scrimmage versus somebody like, you know, Gardner, who's just going to like let it loose and say, fuck it, we're going to go for it all. But I also wanted to highlight Trey Tucker because he's the punt returner on that team. So he had 2 punt returns for 48 yards. As we mentioned earlier with Rashid Shaheed, if you're in any league that has points based on kick returns or punt returns, Trey Tucker looks like he is going to be the punt returner for that offense or for the Las Vegas Raiders. And he's definitely going to be in that offense because he was lighting it up. And if you haven't watched the highlights, definitely go on ESPN, take a look, Google Trey Tucker, you know, preseason week two, look at his highlights, his 3 receptions and 2 punt returns, but he is electric, man. And a couple of times he almost broke him. So the deep bomb that he had, he happened to get tripped up as he was catching it, so he got tackled pretty much like right away. But somebody who definitely need to keep on your radar for a couple of different formats. But regardless, even if it's redraft, just have him in the back. Maybe he's worth a flyer at the very end. Another wide receiver who you love, I know.
Oh yeah, got stock in him too.
Xavier Worthy. So Kansas City wide receiver Xavier Worthy, 3 receptions, 62 yards, 1 touchdown. So again, 20 yards or over 20 yards per catch. So that's huge as far as the target share. Obviously, Rasheed Rice does not look like he's going to get suspended, but it looks like Xavier Worthy is going to be the guy who's going to take the top off. So you're going to have Rice, who's going to be kind of in the middle along, you know, with Kelsey. And then you have Xavier Worthy just going to be gunning, pretty much like running go routes or, you know, fucking post routes, whatever the hell he's going to run.
Mahomes is going to find that man. I promise you, bro. Like, he's going to get that connection. He's just going to run it, and he's going to gun it, and he's going to get it, bro. He's fast. He's a speedster, dude.
And you love this guy. He's a speedster. 100% a speedster, man, out of Texas. So definitely an amazing grab. So think about this, all right? So your defense, because you've been all over Xavier Worthy you since the beginning. We want to talk about
another one I got. That's my guy. Yep.
So you talk about defenses. So run, right? So they got Isaiah Pacheco. Like I said, they've got Rashee Rice, who's in the middle. Then you've got, Kelsey, who's also in the middle. So defense is automatically going to start pulling closer and closer to the line of scrimmage. They're just going to start inching up, because they don't want to get burned on all those little short passes. And then all of a sudden you look and there's Xavier Worthy going for fucking 40 yards past the defense, one-on-one with the safety. And it's just like,
oh yeah.
Oh, all day, dude. I mean, he'd be amazing. I can see it. Best ball. Go ahead.
Dude, you got to hit him on the ticket. I have stock in him also. I've been watching him very closely. Like I said, that was originally going to be Hollywood Brown's, like, kind of, that's what they brought him in for.
Yep.
Like that and we didn't run and gun type thing. But now he's hurt. Luckily, it's not as bad. I forgot to put it in my report. It's not as bad as it should have been. Like, there's no real, like, tears or any really bad. Like, it's not as bad as what they expected it to be.
Yep.
Yeah, so he's still there, but Xavier Worthy's going to be the guy, man. That's going to be the one. That's your wide receiver for Mahomes. And you know he loves to throw the ball any way he can, so he's going to be down the field. Like, almost like a Tariq Hill feel. Like, he's fast, and he gets open, dude. Like, his route running is insane. So, yes, must draft. I'm telling you now, if you don't, you're a sucker.
Even in redraft. 100% even in redraft. They could even honestly start doing reverses with him and stuff like that too. I mean, I could see him with his speed.
Oh yeah.
Of like, let's just get the ball to, I think, you mentioned Tyreek Hill. Different style of body type. So by no means we're not comparing that. Xavier Worthy's taller and lanky. He's very skinny. But the speed is there. And I could see them start to play around with, like, all right, how can we get the ball in his hand and just let him go and like block and just let him go and basically be like almost a kick return sweep. It could be whatever, screen pass to him as an out, as a wide receiver. But yeah, Xavier Worthy, definitely, even a redraft, definitely worth the draft, middle rounds, whatever, wherever you can get him. I definitely not pass him up. It looks like Rashee Rice is not going to get suspended this season. There's not even an inkling of conversation about it out there. So everybody's saying they'd be surprised if he gets suspended. So Xavier Worthy is definitely going to be alone, as a one-on-one in the as he's running his route. So worth having.
Yeah, there you go.
All right, we're gonna go to my boy. So and then
go
we'll,
straight
we'll,
to him.
Then we'll
bro.
Wrap
let's
up.
Go.
Then we'll wrap up with the one that we're gonna tag team as we try to wrap it up here.
Yes, sir.
Bad guys. Caleb Williams. Holy shit. Pat, dude, the stats aren't really there.
Mahomes,
the stats definitely. If you're just a stat guy and you just pull up the stats at the end of every game, you don't watch football, nothing really stand out. Maybe he had one long bomb. I think it was like 50% as far as his percentage or completion. First three drives were 0-3. He went 0-3 and kick, 0-3 punt, 0-3 punt, three drives in a row. So did not look good at all. And then he had a bomb that was pass interference, so they ended up getting closer, ended up kicking a field goal. And then he had a doozy, the fucking Roman Dunze. We put that up. Pat posted that on our Instagram feed for Elite Fantasy Nation.
Insane, man.
He does this rollout. He rolls out. Well, he first spins around, turns his back to defender, rolls out, goes to his left. As he's running full speed, like to his left towards the sideline, decides he's just going to step and kind of like do a little step jump and then guns it about 35, 40 yards over to a defender who's reaching his arm up to basically block the ball. And it's right in the breadbasket for Roma Dunze, who gets tackled like immediately. But it was epic.
Great.
If you have not seen
great
it,
highlight.
I don't know where the hell you're at, but amazing highlight. And then he did another similar highlight where he ran it in the touchdown for his first NFL touchdown, which props to Caleb Williams. But dude, he's arrived, man. That he is him. I don't know what else to say. So, Pat, you got anything else to add about that?
I love your man, bro. I'm a fan. He could do whatever he wants. I don't care what he wears. The man is a solid football player. I'm super excited to see what he has to offer this year. I am very, very excited for you and your team. Seriously.
Hell yeah. No, no, no. Appreciate it, man. We need it. We need it. Chicago Bears need a full-time quarterback that could be a franchise for the next 10, 15 years, whatever that looks like. We're going to hit this last one really quickly. But I thought it was funny because
on this guy.
Because we're
so
we're
he sticks out
expo.
Differently for a weird way, but yes.
Well, explain it.
When we're actually
explain.
He has monster dreads. This gentleman, Jordan Whittington from the Rams. He's a Wookie. Yeah. Rookie.
He's a Wookie. He's in Star Wars.
Rookie. Why
he's
now?
A Wookie?
Yeah, he's in Star Wars too, probably. But he's a Ram right now, and. He's looking to take the number three spot. Two games, 11 catches, 126, 18 targets. Dude, he's solid, man. I just didn't know who he was. I'm like, who is this guy with these monster dreads? Because you can't even see his name on his jersey. So it caught my eye when we're at the expo. Yeah. And Matt's like, your man over here had a great game, bro.
Well, that was week one. Week one we talked about him. And then week two, he's, again, the leading receiver on that team. Again, he's not going to be the wide receiver two. But, it, I mean, this dude is vying for a wide receiver three position. And he looks damn good, dude. He's producing. So I wanted to definitely put that out there. Again, we're not saying anything about redraft. Keep him on your radar.
This is more
redraft.
For dynasty and stuff like that. You got to keep an eye on these kind of guys, man.
Correct. I think honestly, I think he's worth dropping a couple of dollar waiver on dynasty just to kind of get him on your team and
Why
see what
not?
Happens. You never fucking know, man. So, all right, let's roll to the stinkers, man. I'm going to let you take yours, guys, first.
So, I mean, I don't really have any. I got one.
Let's blow his ass up. Blow his ass up. Let's go.
Dude, and I'm getting shit from my friends because I've been telling them this, and they hate hearing it because they're Giants fans. So, Mr. Daniel Jones, dude. Disgusting. So, he was 11 for 18, 138, two interceptions. One was a pick six. So, I'm like, everyone's like, he's hurt.
Did you
he
see the pick
off
six?
Injury.
Huh? Did you happen
horrible.
To actually?
Dude, it was right there.
I watched it. Describe it though, because it's not only just he threw a pick six right at the guy.
Oh well, not even that. He almost did it again. Like it wasn't
The one that he actually got picked off on, he must got a safety. So like he's literally
in
the
end
zone.
He literally
getting
was
sacked
right there.
As he's going down, he just decides he wants to get rid of it and basically threw it right to defender on the 5 yard line, and he just walked in.
And it walked it in. It was a joke, the whole thing. I'm like, all right, whatever, let it go. I'm like. And then everyone's like, oh, you know, he's hurt. He's coming off his injury. I said, that's freaking great, bro. But you paid this guy Mondo Bucks.
But
you
he's
let
played,
Saquon
dude,
go.
That's bullshit, bro, because he's played NFL. He's been a starter for a couple of years now in the NFL. So, like, injury
trash,
or not,
bro.
Dude, he's played in, and this is preseason. Again, he's playing against, like, second string and the
third
backups.
Third string, second,
so, like,
third, yeah.
So, forget about the injury. It's like, come on, dude. You can't even – you doing something like that play – was like by far like that's like that gets backup quarterbacks kicked out of the NFL to where like they get dropped the next day on teams. Like that was absolutely unexplainable. You can't even make an excuse for it. Unexcusable is the word I was looking for. Shit.
Let's put it this way. If Aiden O'Connell,
I don't even
got
a goddamn Giants fan, why am I getting angry?
It's okay. Aiden O'Connell got dropped to second tier because of pick six. If they weren't paying this guy as much, I'm telling you right now, this dude would be either on the roads, packed out, second or third string, and Tommy DeVito, Dane DeVito, whoever that is, DeVito would be in there. He'd be throwing the ball, and that would be it. Let's be really honest with you, bro. He's trash. I'm sorry to say it to all my buddies who listen to this. He freaking sucks. He's going to suck.
Imagine?
It's not changing my thing.
Bro, could you imagine like 5'4", 5'3", Danny DeVito? Like,
close enough, dude. I'm just like, the Giants are a joke, dude. The only thing that saves their life, Malik Nabers is the human highlight reel for them as of right now. Jalen Hyatt's starting to hopefully step up. So you have two solid wide receivers. You got rid of your great, great, great running back, Saquon. I don't care what anyone says, because he's another highlight reel in Philly. He's shaking people out of their freaking cleats in there. He's making some insane
bacon?
Moves I've seen.
Is he shaking and bacon?
Oh, bro, he faked one guy out. He went left and he went right. I'm like, dude, it was like a crossover. Like, I'm like, see,
there he goes.
That's what you get, bro. So now you're stuck with this clown and you're going to enjoy it. And the Giants are going to suck wind all season and be a top three pick again. That's it. Period. I'm done. You're up.
I gotta say, I love watching Pat just rant sometimes. Sometimes I do jump in a lot and talk. I talk a lot, but Pat, when you rant, I just gotta just shut up and just observe because I love it, man. I love it. Pat ranting is one of the best things that I see. All right, let's talk about another dog trap.
It's just frustrating watching bad football. And
you want to talk about bad football? We ain't done yet, homie. We ain't done yet.
Oh, I know, but I'm just saying locally for me, bad football, and that's all I have to hear. It gets tiring in the New Jersey, New York area. That's all I can tell you.
Well, I just feel bad for Malik Nabers, which you talked about earlier. Like, that's what I feel bad for.
They deserve so much better, dude.
The Giants fans, they should be used to this. I mean, Eli Manning was a negative quarterback. He just had a great defense and got lucky on a couple of throws.
And he got two Super Bowls, so it made it relevant.
Yeah, it did. They were at least like relevant for sure. Let's talk about some more trash. Russell Wilson, dude,
what a joke.
He literally looked lost. Like I was watching. I was like, he looks like he just doesn't know what he's doing. Like, does he know the play call? A couple of times. Like, I'm scratching my head. I'm like, does he even know the fucking play call? Like, he grabs the ball and he just like, he starts looking around and he's just like, what is going on with this guy? 8 for 10, 47 yards. 8 for 10 for 47 yards. You know what that is? An average of like 5 yards a pass, 5 point, whatever the hell yards per pass.
It's horrible.
Almost six. Just call it 6 yards a pass. Oh yeah.
Yep.
And he gets sacked 3 times.
Like, he should stick to doing Pilates on airplanes or something and stretching. Dude. Just get off the field, bro. He's done.
I think it's because they're not lying.
Done.
I don't think they gave him an office upstairs on this team, so maybe that's what it is. He needs to have his own private office on the floor with all the coaches.
They're gonna put him in the basement with the equipment manager. That's where he's gonna be, bro.
All right, we're gonna do one more, and then we'll talk. We'll wrap it up, man. Devontae Foreman. I just put him on here. Again, backup running back for the Cleveland Browns. A couple of years ago, he looked awesome with the Bears, and then a couple of seasons ago, he looked awesome. I think actually with Detroit, the Bears, he didn't look that good. They didn't utilize him that much. He got playing time, if you can call it that. 10 carries, 18 yards. That's a total of 1.8 yards per carry on 10 carries.
Yeah.
Pat, you could probably fall forward for two yards because you're 6 foot tall. So, I mean, there's that.
And he's not even that good, dude. That's gonna be Jerome Ford's back anyway.
It totally is, but it's just one of those things where, like, a couple of years ago he was relevant, and now he's like getting 1.8 yards per carry. The catches, who cares? He had 5 catches for 46 yards, but fuck it, who cares?
Nick Chubb's always hurt, and that's what it's gonna be. And this guy's gonna lose his job to like a practice guy because he's not doing well. And
he's going to Ford's 100%.
Ford's
already got the job anyway. Ford's already got the job anyways. As far until Chubb gets back, and then Chubb gets back. It was just he was fighting for potentially being the RB3, which would have been RB2 until Chubb got back. But he looks irrelevant. Yeah. If you have him in any format, doesn't matter. Light him on fire and leave him be.
Yep.
So, Pat,
what a great way to end a show. Yeah. I'll tell you that. That was great.
Well, again, there's a lot of – it's preseason week two, so there's a lot of good things that we're trying to extrapolate. Not a lot of bad things, which is probably good, but there's also not a lot of starters who are playing, so to find bad things is also a little bit harder. But we'll also
and then
want
to
the talk
starter
about,
that plays is just freaking horrible. So it's like, who do you talk about?
Yeah, exactly. So, yo, Pat, you know what we're gonna do next week?
Yeah. What's up?
We're gonna do a mock draft. We initially talked about it for this week, but we wanted to wait one more week, get through this week, if there's any more injuries or whatever, and then do an official mock draft the week that everybody is kicking off their own drafts. Felt like it'd be relevant then because it'd at least be, you know, in your inbox, ready to go. So next week, Pat and I will be doing, we'll quickly hit on any news that's really, really relevant. We won't kind of make it longer than it needs to be, but then we're going to jump right into a mock draft. We'll probably do all rounds just to get it out there. Hopefully we'll reach out to a couple of people on South Harmon, maybe see if we can get one other guest host on here with us. But I want to see who that is until we can get them on. But, you know, hopefully we can get, we've had a couple of people on before, so maybe we can get one of them pulled in to do a mock draft. So that way it's just not me and Pat.
Let's do it.
Did I forget anything? What else you got to say before you sign off to the crew?
Daniel Jones sucks.
Daniel Jones does suck. And for anybody who has not listened or go ahead. Well,
don't draft
off,
them. Don't draft them.
I mean, and if you got him in Dynasty, you're fucked because like nobody's gonna give you anything for him. He hasn't proven anything. But yeah, brother. So if everybody's listening, give us a like, give us a follow on South Harmon. Also, listen to us on Elite Fantasy Nation. We've got both audio and also YouTube podcasts as well. So give us a listen. We appreciate any feedback and all feedback. Trying to kind of like, this is week three, trying to find our way in the South Harmon family and trying to carve out a niche. So let us know what you guys are thinking. Any feedback, obviously we're on Discord. So Pat and I are both in there. So let us know, you know, any feedback, you know, things that you'd like to hear, look at things differently, whatever it may look like. So until next time, Pat, peace.
Peace.
We're out.
Bye.